Football systems check. Microphone.
Check. Record enabled.
Kate.
Check.
Michelle.
Check. All systems go. I repeat, all systems go.
We got a problem.
Copy. We have ball blast. I repeat, we have ball blast.
Ayo.
Ayo.
Week 11, baby. We're in the books.
Was that the lamest start ever?
Yes.
While we just did that, Damian Williams.
That was my best Philip Rivers start.
Damian Williams just got very, very hurt on this play.
That is not good.
Let's hope he's okay.
We are watching.
He also just got a touchdown stolen by McCoy. So
rough
fantasy
night.
Owners are not happy right now.
No.
That looks like ribs, maybe. Broken ribs.
Not good, good for a running back.
So sorry to open up the podcast that way, but we have a lot of other injuries to get to too. So this has just been a great week 11.
Yeah. Welcome in, ball blasties, ball blastums.
Ball blast nation.
Ball blast nation.
We still haven't figured that out. Maybe in our second season, we'll figure out a good nickname.
Oh, we have seasons now.
Yeah, this is our first season. And then we go into second season.
Oh, okay.
Unless you're ready to quit on me.
No. Not out. You're not getting rid of me.
Your fantasy is just going so terribly.
Oh, no, I'm doing okay. Thank you for asking. Anyway, welcome into the Ball Blast Podcast. I am your host, Kate.
And I'm Michelle.
And you can follow me on Twitter at FFBallBlast.
And I am at BallBlastEm. BallBlast E-M.
E-M.
Yeah.
Ow. Ow. Oh, my gosh. We have so much to get to. What a crazy week. The NFL is just the craziest place right now. We are watching a very weird game in Mexico City.
I knew
Philip
it was going
Rivers
to be terrible.
Is done, right?
Well, both teams aren't playing great. Philip Rivers has already thrown two interceptions.
The field is a disaster.
Yep, Mahomes has thrown an interception. We've had some fumbles.
Tyreek Hill is out of the game for now.
And now Damian Williams looks to be out for a bit. Doesn't look good. Does not look good.
No, no bueno.
Should we get into other news?
Yeah, I think so.
It's just in.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Unfortunate news for the Indianapolis Colts. Marlon Mack, out indefinitely with a broken hand, underwent some surgical repair today. Not necessarily out for the season, but not looking great.
Nope.
We've been talking about selling Marlon Mack for some time now.
We did not foresee his injury. We did not foresee that he was going to break his hand. We're not that smart.
I'm not Miss Cleo.
Yes. But the schedule stinks. So I really don't think it's that. It stinks for Marlon Mack.
Yes.
If you're a Marlon Mack owner and you desperately need a running back, then that also stinks. But I don't know how much you're missing out on. He's not involved in the passing game. He has a hard schedule. Like, yes, you want your 10 points a week, but at the same time.
Yeah.
He was having a great game before he went out.
Yeah.
And then Jonathan Williams came in for him and balled out, 13 carries for 116 yards. The same Jonathan Williams that has done nothing in his career. He was drafted in 2016 by Buffalo. He's never had more than 94 yards in a year, in a full season. He's never had more than 94 yards. And in one game, he had 117 in 2019.
Incredible.
Yeah.
But I do think that, you know, it's been pretty clear to us that it sounds like they're going to go with a running back by committee approach.
They're definitely going to do that. And then also, when we're talking about Marlon Mack, we weren't happy about his schedule. So we're not more happy now that Jonathan Williams is taking over. But next up, we have Houston and then Tennessee Titans and then Tampa Bay. Those are just three defenses you're not excited about playing your running back against. So if you desperately need someone to fill in your running back two spot, I don't think Jonathan Williams is the worst choice in the entire world, but it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's a pretty bad choice. But if you desperately need a running back too to help you with these injuries that we're talking about, then, you know, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Staying in Indy, T.Y. Hilton's making progress towards playing in week 12 here.
Okay.
Hasn't seen the field
really
since week 8.
Yeah. Okay. I have him in a couple leagues and I really, really need him. I like that.
They are going up against the Houston Texans, and his career average is 5 receptions, mm-hmm. 101 yards.
Okay.
0.7 touchdowns over 15 games.
Damn. That's like, really good.
For that to be your average and in a span of 15 games.
Houston's had good defenses in the past.
Yes. Like, dude just can't quit.
He's a good wide receiver. We see the Colts struggling without him. I mean, they did just beat up on Jacksonville, but in recent games, this was the first game that Indy has ever won without T.Y. Hilton since T.Y. Hilton joined the league, which is pretty crazy.
That's incredible.
But yeah, T.Y. Hilton is a great thing for everybody to come back against that Houston secondary that's just terrible. In other news, Austin Hooper's also trending in the right direction, but not to play this week, right?
So it sounds like they're, I think, putting out some false reports because they do have a Thursday night matchup.
Yeah,
I don't
no
think there's
plays.
Any way that he plays. No. He did have an MCL sprain, but he hasn't formally been ruled out. It is good news that, they think he's trending in the right direction. Perhaps he will be ready for week 12. Or sorry, oh my gosh.
This is
We're
be
heading
week
into week 12.
Yeah. So week 13.
Week 13. Do you try to buy him for your fantasy football playoffs if you've secured your spot? And
so they don't play until Sunday. Thursday night is Houston.
Yeah.
But the Falcons play on Sunday. I still don't think Austin Hooper or Devonta Freeman play because they said he's also trending in the right direction. I think they both sit out one more week.
Nah.
Yeah.
But there's really no
Which
suitable...
Stinks. If Austin Hooper plays in this game, it's a great matchup against Tampa Bay. Fantastic matchup for tight ends. Just think he sits out one more.
Yeah, but I don't trust any other tight end in Atlanta, so don't look there.
And if Freeman plays, you're not playing him.
No.
No. He's already bad, and then he's banged up, and then he's playing against the Tampa Bay run defense. No, thank you. Amari Cooper, still fighting through a knee injury. He only played on 55% of offensive snaps, and fantasy owners felt that. Yeah, we felt that.
Yeah. Michael Gallup.
Got all the love, over 130 yards.
Randall Cobb, 2 consecutive 100-yard games.
Yep.
Back-to-back touchdowns.
I did not trust Cobb going into this week, and he proved me wrong.
No. I did highlight him on a sell video, my sell article over on RotoWorld, just because I do think that, his relevance...
I would still go try to sell him.
Yeah, largely depends on, Amari Cooper's health, and we've seen Amari Cooper play banged up all season long.
It doesn't really matter for him. I just think this was a down game. That's all.
Yeah.
But he'll come back. He's been injured all year long. Sterling Shepard was a full participant, finally, in practice. Could return week 12. Like, he's been out for how long?
I will believe it when I see it.
I know. It's going to be hard to trust him week 1 that he's back. Like, I kind of want to see him involved again in this offense. It's been so long. Daniel Jones has started building connections with other playmakers on the field. Darius Slayton. He's had great connections with Golden Tate. So, yes, I think Sterling Shepard gets his playing time. I want to see it before I ever play him again.
Yeah, but do you think the presence of Sterling Shepard on the field does raise Daniel Jones's floor? Because I think we've seen some really nice things from Sterling Shepard. Makes some nice plays. Now he's alongside Golden Tate, alongside rookie Darius Slayton, who's just bawling out. I think that, if you get...
They have a good little offense there. They really do. With all that young... I mean, when they sold OBJ, it looked like, who are they going to pass to? But now they have Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram, Darius Slayton, Golden Tate, Saquon Barkley. Like, that's a good young group. Not so much Golden Tate, but still.
Imagine that Golden Tate has been extremely productive, they need some veteran talent there. I think that... that mixture of offensive weapons, if all fully healthy.
I've talked about loving Daniel Jones down the stretch here. His schedule's
great. He's got a
great
schedule.
He does. And I would definitely pick up Daniel Jones if you're struggling at quarterback. If you've been streaming all year long.
You have Josh Allen.
I know. His schedule was really tough.
Josh Allen has a very tough schedule coming up season.
I would still want to keep both.
Okay.
Like, I wouldn't want to drop Josh Allen for Daniel Jones. But
who are you going to play him against, though? You're going to play him against New England? You're going to play him against Pittsburgh? Who are you playing Josh Allen against in the fantasy playoffs?
I just love Josh Allen. I know. Yeah, that's good. You can't play him against New England, and we'll see if Pittsburgh's defense bounces back. But that was a rough performance against Cleveland. Talking about Pittsburgh, Juju sustained a knee injury on the same play as he got his concussion. Well, that's great. We did not know that until today.
That is not good. He was seen sporting a very bulky knee brace, per some reports today.
I saw a picture. He was at an event. Knee brace, not great. Not great. But he's definitely in question. And I even saw one Pittsburgh reporter say that it's very likely he sits out. So that's not good, because Deontay Johnson also got a concussion last game. So you can't even be excited about him. He was apparently bleeding out of his ears.
Not apparently. He was definitely bleeding out of his ears. Yes. Like, that was just a brutal game. And then you have James Conner, who exited with an aggravation of the shoulder injury. So reports say it's not any worse than it was before, but that he's going to play when he's ready.
He shouldn't be playing this week. Like, if you couldn't get through the game last time and it hurt, what's the difference? Apparently the pain meds do not kick in correctly. I don't think Conner plays. I don't think Juju plays. I don't think Deontay plays. We're going against Cincy's defense. So there should be someone on this offense that is great. I don't want to trust James Washington with, like,
as the wide receiver one,
getting all of the coverage. I'm not.
Johnny Holton?
No, yeah, exactly. And Vance McDonald, please. I guess it's Jalen Samuels or bust. Yeah. That's basically it.
That's essentially the entire Steelers offense for week 12. And in other news, David Johnson did not receive a single touch in week 11.
Insanity.
Insanity. Insanity. We talked about on our week 11 preview that
I knew it was going to be bad for David Johnson, but that bad where you don't get a touch. I think he only played like a handful of snaps, and then to not get a touch.
Yeah.
Oof. I mean, it hurts. As David Johnson himself, you have to be so frustrated, right? Like,
they paid him.
You were the face of this franchise, and now you're just nothing.
Yeah.
So you got hurt, they signed Kenyon Drake, and now Kenyon Drake is everything to your franchise, and David Johnson's nothing.
Yeah.
He has to be more hurt than anyone is willing to admit, right?
You would think.
Because he's getting paid good money. He's getting paid good money.
But then why not come out and say that? You know, why not have Kingsbury come out and say, he's pretty banged up right now.
What happens when Chase Edmonds comes back?
Formally sit him. Don't have him active. Like, it doesn't make sense.
So what happens when Chase Edmonds comes back? Does that even mean, can you even have less playing time by David Johnson? Do you think they just get, clearly they were starting to prefer the Chase Edmonds type, which is kind of the Kenyon Drake type. So is that just what they stick with? It's better for their scheme. I feel like their offense has been moving pretty well. They've still been losing, though. It's not like they're winning by sitting David Johnson.
Yeah, but their defense is also just Melvin Gordon.
That response was Melvin Gordon is great. But also Austin Eckler is having a game. Having a game. All right, well, that is it for news and notes. Do you want to get into our segment? Do you want to explain what we're going to be doing here in our first segment?
I do. We're gonna be saying goodbye to some of our fantasy assets. Who are we done with?
Yep, we're saying goodbye. They're gone. And maybe this guy's name that we just were talking about, David Johnson, is going to be brought up in this.
Oh. Michelle, are you implying that you are out on David Johnson?
I think that has to be our question, right? Like, let's just jump right into David Johnson, since that's who we're last talking about. Is he droppable?
Oh, God.
Not a single touch this last game since he's come back from his injury. He had 5 carries the first game for 2 yards. So that's fantastic. And then no carries this last week, no targets, no touches. I don't know what to do. Before his injury, we saw him, you know, struggling on the ground. He had a game of 12 carries for 34 yards, 2.8 yards per attempt. Like, he's had some bad games like that. He was involved in the passing game, so that's what has helped him. But now Christian Kirk's back healthy. Now we have Kenyon Drake there once Chase Edmonds gets back. Like, are you going to be able to play David Johnson?
He hasn't been fantasy relevant since week 6 against Atlanta. He's been hurt. They have the week 12 bye. And then they get the Rams, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Seattle.
Okay.
Which...
It's not the worst, but not the most daunting schedule,
but it's not a great schedule.
This is what I think about David Johnson. Like, I don't think you can drop him, because if you drop him and then he comes back to David Johnson status, even at the beginning of the year, you're going to kill yourself.
Yeah.
That's a bit dramatic. Maybe kick yourself in the butt is the better thing to say there. But what I think of David Johnson right now is he's just a handcuff. He's the handcuff to Kenyon Drake.
Yeah.
So what I mean by handcuff is your insurance piece, right? So if you own Zeke, you probably have Tony Pollard sitting there just in case. If you own Dalvin Cook, you have your Alexander Mattison.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. Kamara with Latavius Murray. So I think that's
so he's what David Johnson is now. But you're not playing him.
Yeah, kind of. He's Kenyon Drake's insurance piece.
Wow.
So if you're owning David Johnson, he just kind of has to sit on your bench, and you know, if Kenyon Drake gets hurt, then you have a guy to plug in. If he doesn't, he stays there.
Yikes.
Yeah.
How do the mighty fall so quickly?
It happens a lot with running backs.
It's maddening to me because they paid him the money to be their lead guy.
We saw Todd Gurley just get a huge contract, and I mean, his is also injury-related. He did have a good game this past weekend, which was great to see. I do think he gets more involved talking about Todd Gurley here, but we saw David Johnson, Todd Gurley, and Le'Veon Bell be it. Like, that's who everyone wanted on their squad just 2 years ago, even at the start of last year. And now no one's dying for them, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, Tyler Boyd. Is he droppable? With Ryan Finley, he's not doing too great. Not doing too hot.
I think he is. It's really hard. So the biggest thing with Tyler Boyd is the fact that he's getting targets. Up until the last week, he had 3 targets, but he hasn't been doing it even when he's getting the targets, which I think is the problem. He's just not...
Yeah, like when you look back at week 7, he had 14 targets, only 55 yards. That's what I wanted to bring up with Tyler Boyd. So this past week, he had 3 targets, no yards. He did have a reception, but no yards. That's pretty much his floor now with Ryan Finley. Like, it could get that bad. And then his ceiling, what is it? Because he hasn't had a 100-yard game since week 5.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since then. It's been 10 yards, 55 yards, 65 yards, 62 yards, and 0 yards.
Just 1 receiving touchdown so far in the season. I think Tyler Boyd is droppable.
Yeah, exactly. 1 touchdown. So his ceiling is just so low. And he had that 1 touchdown the same game he had his 100-yard game. Like, you would kind of want that to be split up a little bit there. When you get a guy that gives you 0 receiving yards, then you want a guy with a massive ceiling.
Yeah.
And Tyler Boyd just doesn't have that.
Not anymore. David Montgomery, running back for the Chicago Dumpster Fire Bears.
You're saying goodbye to him?
So that's what we're going to talk about, right? Just like with David Johnson, it's virtually impossible to drop a running back. Especially going into the fantasy playoffs, how do you...
It's really hard to drop a running back that has at least 14 carries in each of the last 4 games.
Yeah.
So I don't think you can drop David Montgomery, but I am with you there where maybe we say bye-bye to our starting lineup, at least unless you desperately need him.
I'm pretty disappointed here because David Montgomery, just based on his upcoming schedule, was one of my candidates for a league winner. He gets the Jets, Detroit, Dallas, and then the schedule just it really opens up in the fantasy playoffs. I thought that there was a lot of potential against Green Bay, Kansas City. But
his yards per carry is bad.
It's bad.
It's really bad.
It's really bad.
It's the offense is really bad too. I mean, and that's a bigger issue. Trubisky is injured/bench. Nobody really knows. Is he going to be out now? So Chase Daniels comes back in. Maybe, like, that's better.
He's on pace for sub-800 yards with almost 230 carries in 16 games. That's the 16-game pace. That is a bad 16-game pace.
That is a very bad 16-game pace, and you might be excited that Trubisky's out, but we've seen Montgomery get a big workload with Chase Daniels in. 21 carries for 53 yards, and then the next game, 11 carries for 25 yards. He's not been able to put it together, and there's no Mike Davis there anymore. Tariq Cohen's not stealing too many carries, so I don't know. I don't know what to do with David Montgomery. You can't drop him, but I don't think he can go in your starting lineup.
I don't either, but
he always has the touchdown upside because he's the goal line back. It's just, are they going to get to the goal line?
That's the question. That's the million-dollar question. He's definitely a bench stash because that end-of-season schedule, to see the Kansas City Chiefs in week 16, that's your championship week. But how are you ever going to trust David Montgomery?
Yeah, are you going to get to the championship if you're playing Montgomery?
Probably not.
Well, okay, so they get the Giants and the Lions. Like, they can get to the goal line there.
Yeah.
They can get to the goal line against those teams. The Cowboys, probably not. Packers, And then the Chiefs, their run defense is pretty bad. But the thing is, they can't throw, and the Chiefs are pretty good against the pass. So it's like, are they going to get down to the goal line? I don't think they're that bad. I don't know. But if you want to play David Montgomery or hold him, fine. I would hold him.
Yeah.
But I'm saying bye-bye in my lap.
Bye-bye in the lineup.
Until he shows me something. Show me something. Yeah. But the issue is, if he does show you something, he's done that before for us. He's shown us a 135-yard game and a touchdown, and then came back with a 40-yard game. At least he gave you two touchdowns there, but rough. It's been rough.
Yeah. How about Marquise Brown, wide receiver for the Baltimore Ravens?
I think I'm ready to say bye-bye to him.
No way.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm ready to say my goodbyes for the 2019 season. If you own him in dynasty leagues or a deep keeper league where you get to keep, you know, a handful of players, then you're excited. Like, I think he's going to be a star in this league. But rookie wide receivers, it takes a little bit of time. And I just, week one is when he came out and just absolutely killed it. So people have been holding on to that hope. He hasn't done too much since then. He really hasn't. 2 weeks ago against Cincy, he had a nice 4-reception, 80-yard game with a touchdown. That was great. But that's really, before that, 22 yards, 22 yards, 48 yards. And then after that 80-yard game, 2 receptions for 23 yards against the Houston's secondary this weekend.
But, like, despite missing two games, he still ranks second in team targets with 51 targets.
That doesn't mean clearly much.
He's clearly got a rapport with Lamar Jackson, and I just think that when you're looking at the fact that they get the Jets in week 15, like, whew, that could be a great, great matchup to play him in. All of his decent games have come against softer secondaries. He's not a guy that I think can beat anybody underneath yet, but
Houston Miami, secondary is pretty terrible, and he had 23 yards.
He's banged up.
Yeah, he is, but he's been banged up all year. I don't know if he's going to get fully healthy. He hasn't seen more than 4 targets in any of his last 3 games played. Since coming back from his injury, he's played in the last 3 weeks. He's only seen 4 targets in each of those games.
He's also had fewer offensive snaps. Yes. And I think that's part of, you know, maybe his health maintenance, but I'm hoping he gets...
So that 80-yard game he had against Cincy. Cincy, we know, defense is not good. And 50 of those 80 yards came on the very first play of the game. And that's something he can always do, is take one to the house, you know, have a great game. That 50 yards and a touchdown came on the very first play of the game.
Yeah.
I don't know about the touchdown. I may be making that up, but the 50 yards definitely. Coming up for Baltimore, they get the Rams. So that could definitely be Ramsey on Marquise Brown. They get the 49ers. Pretty mm-hmm. hard defense. They get the Bills. Pretty hard secondary.
Yeah.
And then they get the Jets, which should be a nice game.
I like the Jets.
And that's in week 15, a pretty important week. And then the Cleveland Browns, with Denzel Ward and Greedy Williams back, they've turned into a pretty solid secondary as of late. Yeah. I just think you can find other wide receivers. Now, if we're going to compare Marquise Brown to someone we said goodbye a little bit earlier, Tyler Boyd, I think they both have very low floors. But Marquise Brown's ceiling is so much higher that I would rather keep Marquise Brown.
Yeah.
Because this is a player that anytime you plug in can get you barely any points or get you a ton of points. But I just would rather go with a different wide receiver, I guess.
Okay.
It depends on who you're dropping him for, too. You're not dropping him for nobody. But
Jakeem Grant.
No, like, I would keep Marquise Brown. Jakeem Grant is one of the fastest Men? Fastest man.
Oh my gosh. One of the fastest men, Michelle.
One of the fastest men.
You and don't I, speak.
I had it right the first time. Leave me alone. Okay, so Marquise Brown, where are you at there? Are you dropping him?
No.
Let's say Devontae Parker's out there.
Yes.
But he's probably not out there, right? You think I would much rather Devontae Parker than Marquise
Devontae
Brown.
Devontae Parker has a much safer floor.
Let me go through some more here. Let me pull it up. Would you rather Marquise Brown or Randall Cobb?
Marquise Brown.
Over Cobb, who's had two really great weeks. He's been getting the receptions. Six receptions, four. But
I worry that Randall Cobb is a trap.
Okay. And he does have Randall Cobb coming up has New England, then Buffalo, then Chicago, then Rams. Like, that's not great. So maybe I'd rather keep Marquise Brown there as well. Let's think of another one here. Demaryius Thomas. Marquise Brown.
Yeah.
Amendola? No.
So I don't know. Amendola has had a pretty similar ceiling to Marquise Brown.
Yeah, but Matthew Stafford being out. With Matthew Stafford out, his ceiling's been pretty low. So it really just matters if you have anyone good out there to go pick up. Or if you need to pick up a running back because you have so many injuries. Like, I would be fine dropping Marquise Brown to go get a running back or a quarterback to try to win you the rest of your year here if you're streaming quarterbacks. But, yeah, it's always going to depend on your options. Don't drop him for anything, but I'm ready to stop playing him, that's for sure.
Devontae Parker is only rostered in 44.7% of ESPN leagues.
So he might still be out there and owned Devontae Parker, I guess.
Yeah.
Devontae Parker over Marquise Brown any day.
Yes.
Okay.
I agree.
Next up, who else are you saying bye-bye to? Goodbye for 2019.
Peace out. I think I'm out on Sony Michel. There was a point in the offseason where I was fully convinced that he could lead the NFL in rushing touchdowns. And... oh my God, he is so bad.
I mean, he has six, but three of them did come in one game.
Yeah, I don't know what is wrong with Sony Michel. Even in plus matchups, like against Miami, 3.95 yards per carry.
Which isn't bad.
That is bad. It's Miami.
He's not breaking any runs.
No, he looks terrible. His best yards per carry, he's only eclipsed 4.5 yards per carry once this season against Washington.
The thing is, they have so many running backs there. They're not going to ever tell us what they're doing.
It doesn't matter. Even when he's getting the carries, seriously. he's not productive.
Yeah, but if you knew he's getting 20 carries, like most of the time when he's gotten 20 carries this year, he at least gets 70 to 80 yards. Not great, and you always have the chance for a touchdown. But the thing is, he can also have 10 yards. Or 10 carries or four carries, like, and he's not involved in the passing game. So you need to rely on that carry share being there every week. And you can't do that with New England. So I'm not saying Sony Michel can't have any good weeks coming up, but you have no idea when those good weeks will be or when those bad weeks will be. So I almost do say, like, let someone else have them. Obviously try to trade them if you can. I just don't know what you would get.
Yeah, and even in the offseason, we heard lots of hype about his pass-catching ability. That did not come to fruition, but even in games where he saw 17, 16, 22, so weeks, 4 through 8, he saw 17, 16, 22, 19, 21 carries, and 4 touchdowns, and he was still the, running back 15 behind Chase Edmonds. What is the upside there?
There's not a lot of upside. His upside is the 3 touchdown game.
And again, it's not even a product of not receiving volume, because he is. So, but goodbye.
Agree. And then do we have any more that we want to say goodbye to?
I don't know. You let me know.
I think I and Larry Fitzgerald here. I think this one's a little easy, but he had a touchdown this past week, so people might want to hold on. People might want to hold on, but 5 receptions for 37 yards, not excited.
No.
And I guess in the last 2 weeks, he put together 2 decent games because he had 8 receptions for 71 yards against Tampa, but that's one of the worst secondaries in the league. And then this past week, he did have that touchdown, but no.
We had really high expectations for Larry coming out of the gate with 2 consecutive 100-yard games. and it's just not there. And I think the part of the issue is the fact that they are really just spreading the ball around. You've got Christian Kirk who's healthy. Back,
which is hurting you. And yeah. Kenyon Drake being there clearly is not helping either. I think those two games just got people really excited in the beginning of the year. I mean, I was shocked by the start of his year because I was fading Larry Fitzgerald, and I thought that was a major miss because 113 yards, 104 yards to start the season, that's fantastic. But then since then, it's been just a bunch of 30, 40-yard games, and I just don't like his ceiling anymore.
No.
That's really what it is. He can give you somewhat safe points, but I don't like the ceiling at all.
But his ceiling at this point is like a wide receiver too. Yeah. Like, no.
So Marquise Brown or Larry Fitzgerald?
Marquise Brown.
Yeah.
I think his ceiling's higher.
If Mahomes could stop rushing, that'd be great. Let me guess. He never has rushing yards, and I'm going against him, and he's having a terrible game passing, but of course is getting all these rushing yards to make up for all of his bad passing yards.
This has been a dirty game of lots of turnovers, lots of it's literally just been a turnover festival.
And but for real, like Mahomes has now had 2 30-yard rushing attempts. Like, why? Yeah. When does because that happen? Because
he's opposing your fantasy football team.
That's really it. He has 44 yards rushing.
That's all right.
Damn. All right.
Moving on.
We have a special little treat for y'all.
We are doing old takes exposed.
I have a couple funny tweets of mine that I'm going to read out loud. One funny one.
What we thought we would do is go back through some of our off-season takes, like go over the bad ones. let's air out our dirty laundry here, and then we'll talk about some of our good takes and where those are leading us through the 2019 NFL season. Michelle, you want to walk us through your first whoopsie?
my biggest whoopsie of this year. I've had quite a few, but O.J. Howard.
I think that's Howard. Everybody's biggest whoopsie.
There's a lot of people going against me, giving me reasons why they didn't trust O.J. Howard this year. And I was very strong with my stance that he was going to be fantastic. So I tweeted this out back in July 1st, 2019. I said, all right. Fantasy Twitter, ... It's been a while, so I feel the need to remind you that O.J. Howard is the best thing at the tight end position. I am seeing him ranked as most people's tight end 5, which is fair, but I think he has a strong case to be the tight end 1 in 2019. Is he even the top 20 tight end this year?
No, I think he's tight end 40.
Yeah, he had one tight end 1 finish, not as the tight end 1, but as a tight end one.
As a tight end one.
1 week.
Yeah. I honestly do. I believe in the talent. I'm not selling him in any of my dynasty leagues. And by the way, he is the tight end 38 in PPR format.
That is so bad because tight ends are so bad and he's that bad.
Yeah. I mean, he had one of the most incredible acrobatic drops I've ever seen in my life. Like this week, his one and only target goes up and around, like it's in his hands, point blank in his hands. And then somehow it ends up on his back and then flipped up into the air for the interception. It was the...
Because he's trying to still catch it behind his back and he throws it into the air. And
it was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, but well,
Bruce Arians was not happy.
Man. No, that dude was benched, but... Yeah. He's a hold for me in my dynasty leagues. You can't sell him for literally anything.
If he goes to a new team, he's back to being one of the top tight ends in the league. It's just he's not going to be used in Tampa Bay under Bruce Arians.
Yep. And that's...
Unless he plays against Arizona Cardinals every week.
That's sort of the weird thing, though, is that they were so adamant that they didn't want to sell O.J. Howard. Like, they said, we're not taking offers. But why wouldn't you accept offers on a guy who you clearly don't... Like, I don't know what he did to Bruce Arians. Maybe he kicked his dog or something. Like, something bad happened between these two, and I need to know what it is for the sake of my mental health.
Give me your bad take.
My bad take? Ugh, well, I don't really have that many.
Oh, shush.
So it's hard to pick.
You have had some very good takes this year.
I know, I'm having a decent season. You have some
bad ones.
My biggest miss comes off of one of your best takes.
Okay.
Robert Foster.
He's doing great this year.
Yeah, he's...
Does he have a reception yet this year? I think he has one.
I think he has one reception.
Okay. What week are we in? Are we in week one? Because I guess he had one reception in week one, right? No.
Leave me alone. No.
He did not. When was his first reception? In week 10? No, yeah. We're in week 11. Yeah, he's doing great.
Leave me alone. So I was a huge Robert Foster believer.
I mean, I was more of a believer than what he is right now. I mean, he was great at the end of the year. What happened to him?
I don't know.
What happened?
Oh my gosh, muffed punt.
Oh my goodness, the Chargers are a disaster.
Yeah, they are. Anyway, really, my failure is your success. Go John Brown. He is absolutely incredible. Him and Josh Allen just make like this perfect match made in heaven.
Yep, they've been incredibly consistent, and that's the best part. Right now, Josh Allen is the quarterback 7 in total points.
That's absolutely crazy.
I know, he hasn't had any, I mean, besides this past weekend, he hasn't had any massive blow-up games. He's been reliable. And then same thing with John Brown. He's just been such a consistent wide receiver that gets 70 to 80 yards a game.
Wide receiver, a touchdown. 13 in PPR formats. His lowest yardage game, 51 yards.
He's one of two wide receivers that has had 50 yards in every single game. I believe the other one's Michael Thomas.
Incredible.
Yeah. He's fantastic, and I would say that's one of my best hits. I was drafting him in the 12th round in every draft, telling people to draft him. Sometimes I would even reach for him in the 11th because I needed him so badly. And I love him, and I love Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Josh Allen and John Brown, baby. I would say those are my best takes, maybe.
Anyway, Robert Foster, he was number 4 in passer rating when targeted, number 4 in yards per route run, weeks 9 through 16. Ranked 15 in receiving grade among all wide receivers over on PFF. Number 2 in yards per reception. Passer rating when targeted in that time frame, 127.2. Feel like he has to emerge at some point. No? No? He's just not? Isn't a thing?
I keep holding out hope, and I own him still in Dynasty Leagues. In like 2 dynasty leagues, I can't drop him just because I remember what he did his rookie year with Josh Allen. I mean, they had a connection, and it's not like they have anyone else besides John Brown. I mean, Cole Beasley's been good for as an NFL wide receiver for Josh Allen.
He's
but
a good possession guy.
They got rid of Zay Jones.
I really thought that was going to be the opportunity for Robert Foster to sort of open things up. He was banged up throughout the year, but just absolutely no signs of life.
None.
No. Bad take.
It's okay. He was like a 15th round pick. Way to get bold there with your bad take there, Kate.
He was undrafted.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It matters even less. Way to get all...
Still, I planted my flag and I planted it on the wrong man. It hurts. It hurts my soul. I was so excited about Robert Foster. I loved watching him play.
Another man that I planted my flag on was Rashad Penny. But I did end up going off of him before draft season. But the guy I had a very bad take on was the lead back in Seattle, which is Chris Carson. And yeah. I was not high on this guy. I thought he was going to get a lot of carries taken away. I thought he was going to get targets taken away. I didn't think he was as good as he really is. He's great. He's a great running back. And I was very wrong about him. And you should see, I mean, all offseason long, I just argued and argued that, you know, Seattle has to want to use a first round pick. They're going to use him. Like, it's going to happen. No, it's not going
to
happen.
To be fair, I thought there was room for both. And they just, they've definitely been leaning.
Penny's been hurt a bit, but Chris Carson's looked great. I didn't give Carson the credit for how good he truly is, and that's why my take was so incredibly bad.
Yeah.
On Chris Carson and on Rashad Penny. So yeah, give me another bad take by you, or was it just Robert Foster? Was your bad take?
Really, just Robert Foster.
Oh, okay.
No, I think you and I both missed on this guy, really badly.
Who is it?
Lamar Jackson.
I see. I don't think I missed on him that bad. I had him as a top 12, top 10 quarterback.
Yeah, but didn't you missed on him. He's, I think you had him ranked.
The way I missed on him is that I was picking Josh Allen over Lamar Jackson in every league. if both were sitting there, I went with Josh Allen. And Josh Allen's been a fine quarterback, but he's not been Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, but don't you think we missed on him in terms of evaluating the talent? Because he looks...
Yeah.
He looks incredible.
I'll give you that. Yep.
He looks like he has developed in the passing game. He just looks good. And it's terrible.
Baltimore's good. It's really annoying.
It hurts my soul to have missed on him so badly because I... Even in the offseason when we were seeing, you know, passes in training camp, they didn't look like clean passes, and that wasn't against any defensive coverage. So I was a little bit worried about that. But Lamar Jackson is absolutely the real deal.
I did get him in a couple leagues, but it's because Josh Allen was taken in front of him. And yeah. I was like, oh, man. So then I love quarterbacks that run, too. Like, I just, in fantasy football, that's where you get your points.
Yeah.
And that's why... I love taking those guys, and I just was too high on Josh Allen. But I was actually perfectly high on Josh Allen, but too low on Lamar Jackson, because I did not foresee him breaking out this way.
Yeah.
Where Shout he's just scoring 30 to 40 points game.
FF Stompy.
Killing it. Okay, give me a good take, then. We've discussed our bad takes. Give me one of your good takes.
All right.
You've had a few great takes this year.
I mean, I think the flag that I planted earliest on was Derrick Henry, right? Like, Derrick Henry, he has even surprised me, I think, because I was a little bit nervous going into this season. He had had the preseason injury. I was worried that that might affect his overall workload or he might get a slow start, but he's the 7th ranked running back in PPR formats.
He's been consistent. He's been great. Derrick Henry's definitely your guy. Every time you tweeted, it was about Derrick Henry.
Yeah, he's definitely my boy. He's even getting some work in the passing game, which I didn't really account for. But Derrick Henry has a legitimate shot to lead the NFL in rushing touchdowns this season. Like, an absolute legitimate chance. He's on pace for 300-plus carries, which is exactly what I wanted to see in order for him to have an RB1 finish. I didn't expect him to be the highest ranked running back in PPR formats. I wasn't expecting him to be RB7. I think I had him ranked as RB12 in full PPR, but he is the RB4.
People did not like that. Did not like that ranking.
No. And he's the RB7.
I like Derrick Henry this year, but I was more skeptical than you were, and he's been a great delight.
Not to mention, he is the RB4 in standard, and my bold prediction was that he was the RB2 in standard formats.
That's fantastic. He's doing great. He's doing great things here. I'll say, for my good take, I was much better this season about predicting the bust than I was about predicting the top, like, breakouts,
yeah.
I'll say. So, I mean, a lot of the top guys were pretty easy to predict. But, like, the breakouts, I wasn't as great as I was the bust this year. I feel like I really hit on the bust. The two people I, just did not get off their backs the whole offseason. I was just a little bit of a hater on these two. Was Damian Williams and Mike Williams.
Yeah.
And that's looking pretty great for me right now. Damian Williams looked to be the lead again here in the last couple games. But now, I mean, he struggled in the beginning of this game. Now he's hurt. I think he'll be done for a bit. But once McCoy came back in, McCoy already stole a touchdown before Damian got hurt. So it wasn't looking good for him anyways. And Damian's not doing good. But Mike Williams is the wide receiver 49 so far on the year. And it was for some reason a hot take that he wasn't going to be a top 24 wide receiver, which I had no doubt in my mind that he was not going to be. But I felt good about that one. I did have a tweet from May 10th that said five players that I will not have on a single dynasty or redraft roster in 2019. I don't even care if they drop. The four out of five names were Damian Williams, Corey Davis, Lamar Miller, that was well before his injury, and Mike Williams. I did have Allen Robinson also in there, but he's been he's been back and forth. Really good, really bad. Really good, really bad. So I don't feel too bad about that one.
Yeah.
I kind of like talking about my misses more. It's a lot more fun. It's funnier to read back on the just terrible takes. A little bit funnier.
Do you want to talk about how obsessed we were with Dante Pettis?
Oh, yeah.
Dante Pettis has to be one of the biggest fantasy misses. Just in general, we were very high on Dante Pettis.
I will Currently, he was going in the ninth round. Like, I don't necessarily
Hopped up. No, he hopped up to the sixth, seventh round by the time redraft came around. But yes, he did.
He hopped up there around dynasty season. He went all the way back down. By the he was 10th round, 11th round pick by the time redraft season
came around. I don't know where you were drafting.
He was a 10th, 11th round pick. We did our Pittsburgh league, and I'm pretty sure he went in the 12th round.
Yeah, that was a 10-man league.
Yeah, but he kept sitting there in the 12th. Neither of us wanted to take him. By the redraft season, we had a pretty good feel about how Shanahan felt about him.
No, because then we came back, and Shanahan said, I'm only this tough on the people I really like. He started to climb back again. Do you know Dante Pettis' current PPR ranking?
What?
Do you know?
Oh, it's probably like 80.
102.
Okay, I was going to say 100, and I went up a little bit. He's pointless. Yeah, he's not a guy you want to own. I don't even know if he's a guy you want to own in Dynasty anymore. I mean, you can't drop him, but rough.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you do with him in Dynasty, but he had...
My favorite word is rough, so if any of you guys are drinking during your game, you should really play a drinking game. Every time I say rough, take a shot, you will be really drunk.
It's just a bummer because you did see so much production. Like, where did that go last season? 77 yards, 129, 49, 83.
It's gone. Apparently, touchdowns. Nick Mullins was his man, and Jimmy G does not want to pass to Dante Pettis. But also, Pettis can't catch a ball, and he's struggling, so that's also on him. I want to give you also credit before we hang up like we're on the telephone together, even though we're staring at each other in the same room. Your Amari Cooper and Mike Evans takes were spot on as well. Mike Evans was your wide receiver one. Amari Cooper, you had a top seven wide receiver. They're both killing it. Great, great calls by you there.
Thank you. I did believe in Amari Cooper's consistency in this kind of offense. Dak Prescott is playing lights out. Pretty consistent.
Yeah, he was an odd one by me. So I definitely had him ranked in the top 10, which I felt confident about, Dak Prescott. And I got a lot of heat from that. Like, why?
Which is interesting because he's never finished outside of the top 10.
Always finishes in the top 10. He's very easy to predict there. But yeah, that was another one, I guess. But yeah. Let's stop bragging. All right.
I will say, Mike Evans. I predicted a 90-plus catch, 90-plus catches, 1,500 plus yards and double-digit touchdowns, and my man is on pace for 93 catches, 1,589 yards, and 11 touchdowns.
It's pretty insane how spot on that would be if that stays the course. If that does, you're going to have to do some big bragging. I mean, I don't even care if that looks bad. You're going to have to do some big bragging out
there. I'll do a shot.
On social media. But yeah, that's our episode for today. So hopefully you learned something with our bye-byes.
Yeah, and guys, tell us what your biggest misses are. Let's make fun of ourselves a little bit. Send us some of your biggest miss tweets.
Yes.
Because we want to see them.
Or, you know, your hits, too.
We do want to see the hits. Yeah, we want to celebrate each other's success. But
clearly it's a lot more fun to talk about the misses.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, come on. But like, my OJ Howard tweet, and I have a few of those. Like, I was obsessed with OJ Howard.
You had a very long thread.
I did have a really long thread on OJ Howard about how he's going to do great and why people shouldn't be concerned. And yeah, that did not work out.
Yeah.
Whoopsies.
And, I mean, I had many, many tweets about Robert Foster, so... I'm going to do some more digging up of my garbage takes because everybody has a few of them and they're fun to watch.
Oh, if you say you don't, you're a liar.
Yeah, we all do it. So celebrate with us. Everybody give me a follow on Twitter at FFBallBlast. I'm Kate.
And I'm Michelle at BallBlastM, BallBlastEM.
Give us a subscribe. Give us a 5-star review if you are feeling so generous. Everybody, good luck in your matchups this week. Get those waiver wire claims in. We will see you on Friday or Thursday.
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 Bye.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.